Welcome to the Financial Samurai Podcast, where we endeavor to reach financial freedom sooner rather than later. Hello, everybody. It's Sam from Financial Samurai, and I want to wish everybody a happy Valentine's week. This episode talks about the key to living longer and happier. And that key is fear being alone far more than fearing going broke. I've always told my wife that if all goes to hell, the stock market crashes, there's a massive earthquake, we lose everything, at least we'll still have each other. After all, we met during college when I was a senior and she was a freshman, when neither of us had any money. We were happy just spending time together between classes in the sunken gardens at the College of William and Mary. Having to start over wouldn't be so bad. Now that we have a son, I'm convinced that part of the reason why so many couples choose to have so many children, despite the cost, the stress, and the time commitment, is because they too fear being alone one day. Having nobody to visit you in the hospital when you're sick is pretty depressing. And having to play children's games at a nursing home is no way to live out your remaining years. I want to be surrounded by my kids and the people that I love when it's time for me to go. So for me, being alone is far scarier than going broke. When you lose someone, there's no guarantee you'll ever be able to find someone as good. Maybe you'll probably never find someone as good. You'll just find someone different. You hope. But if you lose all your money, there's a good chance you'll recover through some ingenuity and some hustle. After all, most of us were born with nothing. And when we were in high school and college, we didn't have much. If I lost everything one day, I think I'd just swallow my pride, apply to a minimum wage job that paid $14 or $15 an hour, flip burgers for 8 hours a day, because that's what I did in high school, and then maybe drive for another 4 or 5 hours in the evenings if I had to. I truly believe that the key to living longer and happier is having someone to love, having something to do, and having something to look forward to every single day. Having close personal relationships and a strong community to interact with are the top findings why certain communities designated as blue zones around the world have longer lifespans than others. If you click over to the post, you can see an interesting chart that ranks the importance of each variable in terms of staying alive. At the bottom is clean air, then it goes to hypertension, then lean versus overweight, exercise, cardiac rehab, flu vaccine, quit boozing, quit smoking, and then close relationships and social integration as the two most important variables for living a longer and happier life. All this makes sense to me because, again, having someone to love, something to do, and something to look forward to are the keys. I get a ton of comments on Financial Samurai, and I'm appreciative of all the detailed comments left because they share windows into different people's souls and promotes new topics of discussion. For example, recently I had an amazing comment from a reader named JD who commented on an uncontroversial post I wrote called Things Worth Spending Max Money On for a Better Life. If you read the post, they're just some suggestions on how to spend your money to live better because after all, what's the point of making money, saving money, investing money if you're not spending it on things to improve the quality of your life? So he went on a huge rant, like a 600-word comment rant, basically going against everything that I wrote about. So I thought, there must be a little bit more to JD's story. So I asked him to share more about himself, and he did. This is what he said. I'm frugal and the real deal. I'm financially independent with a high net worth. I'm also not a hypocrite. Well, gee, thanks. Are you implying that I'm a hypocrite? The simple things in life are free, and once you get used to them, luxury living is rather petty and obviously to impress the masses. Furthermore, everything I've typed up there is true, and I can back each and every statement up. I'm not negative, I'm real and honest. I've also debated people to death, and I don't intend to waste my time doing so online again. Everyone lives in their own realities, with their own priorities, petty as they may be. It's why my personal relationships have never worked out. My own preferences have been exotic and queer to most people at times. I've turned down steaks for Big Macs, for instance, because they taste better to me. If you want me to reiterate a few, plan obsolescence pretty much wipes out the need to buy the biggest, best, and most popular and coolest of appliances, in conjunction with the bathtub curve regarding breakdowns. a $300 refrigerator will last as long. I'm not longing for a 3000 one with a ludicrous touchscreen and Wi-Fi system, and certainly requires less maintenance and makes life easier for you. Oh, sorry, no bragging rights with an ordinary refrigerator. That's what it's all about, status, impressing the guy next door. Maybe you need such recognition, but I do not. The bottom line is that I saved $2,700, which is more money in the bank making interest. Plus, I'm not pulling my hair out over a touchscreen and that's malfunctioning and a unit that needs software updates, etc. I really didn't talk about getting a fancy refrigerator with a touchscreen. But anyway, let me continue. I could extend this analogy to include all manners of modern smart tech, which makes life miserable in the long run, including fancy thermostats, which need their batteries replaced constantly and maybe even recalibration. All for look at me, I'm better than you gratification and a cumulative drop in wallet dough. If you're secure in yourself, you care not about appearances to project upon others, you are indeed comfortable and truly at peace. I've splurged in the past and I almost invariably felt guilty afterwards because the outcome simply was never worth it. Maybe I need a shrink. Frankly, it's almost done. I've found this website a disappointment. Your earlier articles were generally good, but you've changed over the years. Perhaps this wife of yours has had an influence on your psyche. It's why I'm not married. If you want real financial know-how, check out Bell's Living Stingy blog. I've never heard of it. Not 100% in agreement, of course, but I do tend to agree mostly with his lifestyle, minus the BMWs and his sometimes quirky politics. Okay, so that was pretty cool. I really appreciate that comment, JD. And although he said a lot of unflattering things about me and the site, it's good he followed up with some details about his beliefs. I don't mind criticism or pushback or whatever. If you share with me your beliefs and why, don't just say, no, that's wrong, and not share anything about yourself, because I share a lot about myself. So here are three interesting observations I've taken away from his reply. One, there might be a self-esteem issue because he thinks that a nice TV, refrigerator, bathtub, and Wi-Fi system is for showing off to your neighbors instead of for your own personal satisfaction. I mean, I'm not sure how your neighbors will ever find out you have nice refrigerator or bathtub or, I don't know, Wi-Fi system unless you invite them over to take a bath or have an online gaming party. Two, guilt for spending money despite having a high net worth is very, very common among those of us who have reached financial independence or who have retired, because part of the reason why we got to a high net worth is by being frugal. So old habits do die hard. And then three, JD is alone. By comparing things with others, bringing up my wife, talking about his shrink and his failed relationships, it seems he either enjoys being alone, a little masochistic, or that's just his disposition, which is fine, I respect that, or he desperately wants to find someone. So I'm going to continue with this podcast by talking about some strategies on how not to be alone, because I'm assuming that most of you guys want some companionship, because to be loved and accepted is all we can really ever ask for, and I think most of you guys want to be happy. I think there's no point to having money if you have nobody to share it with. So although there's no guarantee of finding someone in a world of 7 billion plus people, we can at least improve our odds by doing the following. Come up with a total of 10 points, and here's number one. Ask whether you'd be happy hanging out with yourself for hours. So pretend you're stuck for 5 hours at an airport due to a computer system malfunction. Would you enjoy your company, or would you want to get away as soon as possible? The airport test is one of the key determinants every applicant must pass when applying for a job that demands rigorous work hours and plenty of travel. That's what I used in banking, and that's what a lot of management consultants do as well. Two, find ways to look at the positive. JD decided to look at my post on things to spend max money on as an offense to his frugality. Even though my post wasn't forced upon him or cost him anything to read, he got triggered somehow by my suggestions. Meanwhile, most other people decided to see the positives of the post and share some of the things they valued the most. So the more you can see good in things and good in others, the more people will start seeing the good in you. Three, turn on your grateful switch. Whenever I sprain my ankle, I'm thankful I didn't break my ankle. Whenever my wife is feeling tired after a long night, she is thankful she has a son to be tired for. In the very simplest terms, if we can be grateful for just being alive, our world will change for the better. I'm just grateful that I have a voice that I can do this podcast with, and I have the energy so far because I know one day I will have no voice and no more energy. Four, smile. Nobody can resist a big, toothy smile. Strangers will automatically smile back at you for no reason if you're smiling at them. It's like a powerful magnet. The next time you're zooming down fresh powder, dancing to your favorite tune, or riding a jet ski, notice how sore your cheek muscles get after the session is over. It's because you've been smiling nonstop without anybody noticing. Can you tell that I'm smiling right now? Hopefully you can. 5. Focus on solutions. Problem solvers don't just accept a bad scenario. They find a way to go around the wall. There is no greater turnoff than a person who complains why life isn't fair and then does nothing all day. 6. Take care of your mental and physical health. Nobody will love you if you can't love yourself. And it's very obvious if you don't love yourself. It starts with taking care of your mental and physical well-being. You don't have to look like a swimsuit model or have the mind of the Dalai Lama. You just have to consistently work at reaching your healthiest potential. 7. The more people you meet, the higher your chances of meeting someone. It's just a numbers game. Sharing a common interest is the easiest catalyst to start a meaningful relationship. I have one friend who is always on a date despite not being particularly attractive because he's not afraid to ask every person he meets for their contact information because he's not afraid of rejection. 8. Stay hygienic. For the love of God, shower, wash your face, brush your teeth, floss, no matter what JD says about buying a Sonicare toothbrush. I love my Sonicare toothbrush. Don't beg on that, man. If you smell and are dirty, nobody will want to come close to you, let alone kiss you. 9. Develop emotional intelligence. If you're clueless, it's dangerous because you may not know you're clueless. This is called the Dunning-Kruger effect, and I have a post on this. An emotionally intelligent person understands another person's viewpoint and works to socialize in a manner that's agreeable. Always think about another first before asking for something. See if you can put yourself in their shoes before arguing like hell. And then finally, be generous and kind. Showing generosity and kindness is one thing if you have everything. Showing generosity and kindness when you have nothing is next level humanity. You know those movies where there's this girl who meets a guy and he treats her so well, and then at the end of the movie, he turns out to be this mega wealthy prince. Yeah, that is the thing I'm talking about. We are programmed for companionship. I don't care what you say. During my days on Wall Street, I met plenty of wealthy people, but very lonely people who had let their desire for wealth and prestige consume them. They work, 60, 70, 80 hours a day. They got promoted to managing director. But so many of them were single after the age of 40. And they told me, look, they regretted not spending more time in their 20s and 30s on finding someone and building their emotional intelligence and relationships rather than working. There's no denying that luck plays a role in finding a companion, but I'm certain, just like everything, working out, building wealth, whatever, I'm certain we can all do more to increase our chances at finding someone if that's what we want. Relationships are very hard to maintain because we tend to take each other for granted. Marriage is a constant work in progress. But I say it is better to have loved than to have never loved at all. When it comes time to part ways, I would give everything I have to spend one more day with my wife and son. Thanks everybody, and I hope you can find someone you can come home to every single day. And I'd love to know, why do you think some people remain alone? Is being alone a choice? How much luck is involved? What are some of the other ways to improve your chances of finding the one?